Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Wonderful lessons today, at least from the standpoint of preaching, where you struggled to define a point, you could pull many out of today's readings. So I'm going to try to narrow it down. I thought over my working career about a number of companies, one that I was in direct competition with, and another, like many of you, I support through purchases. The reason why I thought about these companies is that these companies were all started because of a disagreement or an argument with a partner, with a brother, with a sister, with a father. And you'd like to think that they all started to be the best, but the reason they were started was to literally hamper and change the business from where they left. In other words, to drive them into the dirt. That happens. And in this particular case, most of the companies around these other companies that competed with them have survived. They've changed their business. They have found ways to compete. And I am a firm believer in that, that good, honest, fair competition is a good thing. But there's always an issue when these things crop up out of spite and out of anger and out of, I'm going to get you for that. And although these are on the scale of companies worth hundreds of millions of dollars, that's how they were started. Now, do you think there's a chance that these companies, with whoever they were mad at, will ever have a chance to reconcile? Do you think that they will ever want to? We'll never know. You'd like to think that time heals all wounds. But more than likely, especially in that type of environment, the people that got this all started are going to go to their grave holding on to that grudge. They're going to go holding on to that anger. They're going to pass away still wanting to drive them out of business. And the funny part about it is, as far as world possessions are concerned, they're going to leave with exactly what they came in with. Nothing. And yet all of that energy was spent on literally trying to get revenge for something that happened. Aside from the fact that these companies employ hundreds of thousands of people, you can look at it and say, you know, that's just not the way to do it. Just not the way. Now let's condense that into a little smaller arena. Our lives, our families, and how often we go through life with that same inner struggle, being wrong, being angry at someone, might be a friend, might be a really close friend, might be a sister, a brother, a mother, a father, any kind of family. And I often wonder how long we hold on to those things before we take the opportunity to reconcile them. Nobody lives forever. I'm living through that right now in a number of different areas. People with regrets. People that would like to say they're sorry but not given the opportunity. People that have already made that decision that they're going to take their bitterness with them, to really no benefit of themselves. And this can not only go on between just two people or three people, but this can go on in generations. I once had a brother once that found a long-lost second cousin, you know, way down on the shirt type of a thing. And they decided they wanted to go hunting that year, but he had to get permission from his father before he could invite my brother. And his father absolutely, positively refused to let him on the property because of a falling out that he had with my brother's grandfather. That's how long we can hold on to this stuff. Ah, to be human. Jesus today tells a wonderful, wonderful parable about one son that feels his duty to stay at home and to work hard for his father, and the other that says, I'm going to find out what the world looks like outside of camp, and I'm going to go. Probably didn't fall in with the best of crowds. Probably spent his money unwisely, as the parable says. And yet when he realized his mistakes and he realized his faults, it would have been extremely easy for the father to hold that grudge, at least for a little while, maybe to teach him just a little bit more of a lesson. And yet as he sees him coming, he is overjoyed just to know he's alive. And although he comes back without a penny, ready to mop floors, ready to feed the goats and the pigs and do what he was doing in that distant land, his father says, I got your back. I got your back. Because you see, the father really understood what was important. He hoped that his son had learned something, but he wasn't about holding on to grudges because he had his son back. And everything that his son lost could be replaced. Everything that his son lost, he wasn't taking with him anyway. He understood in forgiveness. He understood second chances, and he embraced his son. But there was something interesting about that dad, too. He had love for the other, even when the other felt very self-righteous in what they had done, wondering why we celebrate with the son who sinned, and yet you have never celebrated with me. And the father is there to answer that question, to say, I love you too, and all I have is yours as well. I will hold nothing back. What I gave to one, I will give to the other, and I will give until I have nothing to give, because you are important. So the father in his house makes room for the son who failed, who lost it all. And yet the son, who felt self-righteous, angry, wondering how he deserved to be treated so, he had the love and compassion to look at him and say, there's enough here for you too. And there always will be. That's our Heavenly Father, folks. Our Heavenly Father came down in the form of His Son to reckon the whole world to Him. For all who fit in either one of those two categories and multiple categories around it, that the Father loves you. Not what you have, not what you become, but you. Regardless whether people are looked at in a lowly way that doesn't quite measure up, or those that look down on people that don't measure up. Those that hold grudges, and yet those that can reconcile. He's there for all of us. And all He has through Christ Jesus is ours. It's yours. The love of God. In doing so and in reconciling humanity to Him, He calls upon us to do the same. To always park that pride, to always park that resentment, to let hold of the grudges, as they say, bury the hatchet. Because in doing so, in most cases, when we feel even self-righteous in our own right, we find a way to let go of our own sin. We find a way to let go of our own anger. And take it from someone who has personal experience in this, the world looks a whole lot brighter when you do. And that's the way God meant it to be. Because as Paul said, he looked at Christ as a human being, but he looks at Christ not like that anymore, nor you and I anymore that way. Because in and through holy baptism, this baptism right here, receiving the Holy Spirit, you are no longer thought of by God or by Jesus in human ways, but in heavenly ways. In doing so, each of us is a child of God, asked to reconcile, asked to forgive, asked to love. All those things that sound real easy when they roll off your tongue and yet are at times very hard to do. But yet these are the things in Christ Jesus that God did for each and every one of us. He kept his promise. He found a way to reconcile his people. He found a way to come to his creation and to save his creation. Jesus held no grudges. Jesus loved all. And even his dying breath, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Letting go, reconciling, burying the hatchet, pick a term. It's good. It's healthy. It's what God looks for in each and every one of us, even though it oftentimes is very hard. As part of our Lenten journey, these are things that we're called to do. We're called to look within. Be able to let that anger go. And having seen people take that anger and that frustration to a place where they can't do anything with it anymore, they take it right with them into death. I know they wanted to do something else with it before that opportunity, when they still had the opportunity. Don't hold it on. We're called to let it go. We're called to reconcile. For ours is a ministry of reconciliation. And thanks be to God for that. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are comfortable and join in the hymn of the day. Thank you.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the Church,